America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It's the 1st of July. We are quickly heading toward celebrating the 250th anniversary of the United States of America on Saturday, July the 4th. I wanted to read to you from Luke chapter 13. The scripture says this, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him," to Jesus, "about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they'd suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I want to talk to you today about the need for repentance, repentance in your life, my life, and in the life of the country. I was awakened this morning thinking about Nineveh and how Nineveh in Jonah chapter 3 repented, and the reluctant evangelist came, and Jonah, and preached and wanted God to fry Nineveh, that great city, and God didn't fry them. He saved them. He set them free. He responded to their repentance. To help me with this discussion as we think about the anniversary of the country coming up on Saturday is my friend, Marine evangelist Tim Lee. I had talked to Tim a couple of weeks ago and asked him about coming on today. Tim spends his life and ministry calling people to repentance, calling them to put their faith and trust in the Savior. He is a good friend, and he's the author of the great autobiography called Born on the 5th of July, Marine Tim Lee. Tim, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. You sound good. You look good. Young man in the strength of life. Tim, welcome to the program.
Honored to be with you, Pastor, and looking forward to our discussion today. I'm excited, thrilled with what's going on in America right now. Seems to be a new surge and wave of patriotism, and we know that's not the total answer, but it's a good thing. Our young people, young children need to see this celebration of our nation's 250th birthday and the waving of the flag. We don't see enough of that in America today. We see a lot of criticism and a lot of putting down, and looks like they're elected another socialist slash communist in Colorado to run last night. That seems to be happening weekly now. And so I thank God for the new wave of patriotism, and remind me of the days. I'm old enough to remember when it happened during Ronald Reagan's time in office, and we need this desperately.
Well, Tim, if you remember in the when Reagan ran for office in 84 for re-election, I think that's when Lee Greenwood had the song that first came out, "Proud to Be an American, Where at Least I Know I'm Free." I remember watching that convention and just thinking, wow. And it was such a contrast. The Democrats had gone first in their convention and then the Republicans, and it was like, one side is doom and gloom, and the other side is excited to be an American. Tim, I don't know if you saw the poll that was taken or shared. I don't know who did it, but the CNN had it, and they were talking about how Democrats and Republicans have changed over the last 25 years. It used to be Democrats and Republicans in 2001. Both were at like 85 to 90% very proud to be an American. 25 years later, here in 2026, Republicans hadn't changed at all, but Democrats, very proud to be an American, it was like 27%. We have a serious problem in America, and as you pointed out, if we keep voting for socialists to govern our cities, we're in terrible trouble.
Yeah, it's I'm shocked, to be quite frankly. I just, you know, would never have believed something like New York City. After what happened on 9/11 and then during the weeks and months and even years afterwards, America was awakened. We realized that we had been seriously attacked and that we all came together. Republicans and Democrats gathered on the Capitol steps in our nation's capital and prayed together and sang together. And then all here we are 25 years later and so divided. And but it's not we who are conservative and we who are Christians who have moved. We're the same as we were 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's those leftists that have taken over. And I would have never believed it would have happened, you know, 15, 18 years ago. But now here we are dealing with it. And it's a regular occurrence now.
Yeah.
This election cycle.
Well, Tim, you know, when we think about our education system in America, we've taught our kids to hate America, that America's bad, that we stole the land from the Indians, that we, you know, at every turn we were terrible. And, you know, you can't give a steady diet of that to young minds without it producing this attitude that we are bad, we are terrible. You know, they're chanting death to America in Dearborn, Michigan, with the, you know, heavy Muslim population they have there. How can a nation, let me ask you this, as somebody who bled for our country, almost died for our country in Vietnam, lost both your legs in Vietnam, how can a country survive long term when you have all the termites just chewing up the fabric inside the country?
We know it's a spiritual. We know it's a spiritual warfare. I was thinking of when we were getting ready to come on the air today that America has such a strong foundation. And our forefathers, you know, 250 years ago, even beyond that, the Declaration of Independence, even beyond the Constitution Convention, and back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims, the Mayflower Compact, God has been in America's history since the very beginning. So I do still believe we have a very strong foundation. It is being gnawed away at by these radicals in our country. But I was going to give you your listeners just a few things to show how strong this nation was built upon God, upon the Word of God. And on the Washington Monument, which is the highest monument in our nation's capital, at the very top of that monument, engraved on the aluminum capstone, is the Latin phrase "Leo, Laus Deo," which means "Praise be to God." That is at the very highest point of our nation's capital. We're saying "Praise be to God." Our forefathers put that there, and they weren't trying to kick God out of America. They were trying to put God in America. And then in the U.S. Capitol and the House chambers, the inscription "In God We Trust." It's there today. And also in the House chamber above the gallery doors stands a marble relief of Moses surrounded by 22 other lawgivers. At the east entrance of the Senate chamber are the words "Annuit Copitis," which is Latin for, quote, "He has framed He has favored our undertakings. The words "to in God we trust" are also written on the southern entrance. And then, Pastor Jeff, in the rotunda, you can still see it today. People might need to go look at it quickly because this is our cancel culture that we have, trying to get rid of everything good and decent in America. But in the rotunda is the painting of the baptism of Pocahontas. And I'm not talking about Elizabeth Warren, of course. I'm talking about Pocahontas. And then you have the embarkation of the pilgrims that show the pilgrims praying on shipboard, led by William Brewster, and clearly seen as an open Bible and the words, the New Testament, according to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're in the rotunda today. If people go visit our nation's capital today in the rotunda, they will find exactly what I just said there. And read to you there. And it's all over our nation's capital. One of the greatest vacations we ever took with our children was to Washington, D.C. We'd been to all the amusement parks and everything else with our kids, but our kids absolutely love visiting our nation's capital, and you could see the hand of God all over the place. And now that's being eroded. It's still there, it's still solid. And I think we can win. I really do think we can win the battles that's going to be before us, but we've got to make up our mind that it is a spiritual battle. We do need to repent, as you started out with us so rightfully a moment ago. America, righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible says the wicked should be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And I've said many times it'd be better for a nation never to know God than to know God and then turn her back on God. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been doing. And I think a lot of it is our judicial system that really concerns me, especially after some of the rulings yesterday, but that our judicial system is the one for 40, 50 years has been repeatedly saying to God, we don't need you anymore, but we do need God.
Yeah, very, very troubling what they ruled on that anchor baby thing, the birthright citizenship. Yep. Tim, I ran across a quote. This is a recent quote from Clarence Thomas. He's talking about what's going on in our country and how progressivism is antithetical to the American way of life and to the Constitution on which our country was founded. I want you to listen to this and then comment on it, if you would.
Progressivism seeks to replace the basic premises of the Declaration of Independence, and hence our form of government. It holds that our rights and our dignities come not from God, but from government. It requires of the people a subservience and weakness incompatible with a constitution premised on the transcendent origin of our rights.
Tim, I don't know if you remember Tim Kaine. He was grilling somebody on Capitol Hill, and he was saying how he was very concerned that they said that they thought that our rights came from God and not government. This is the brainwashing that's taking place. How do we turn that around?
Yeah, well, government is their God, and you know, you're gonna worship something, In America, we have another religion. It's not necessarily a new religion, but it's called humanism. And Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, declares that they worship the work of their own fingers, that which their own hands have made. Mm-hmm. And we've forsaken the Creator. We've turned our back on God. And now we worship that which man can devise and that which man can put together. And that's what these liberal progressives are doing. And government is their God, and they will fight for their God, and they will worship their God, and they will praise their God. And that's why Christians everywhere need to wake up, and we need to sound the alarm. We need to blow the trumpet and be out on the wall crying that, you know, this is serious. We're not alarmists, we're realists, and that America's being attacked. I am concerned about the enemy in Iran and North Korea and China and Russia, other parts of the world. But I am more concerned today with the enemy inside America, those that are seeking to destroy America from the inside. This is our fight. You know, this is, we don't have time to relax. We don't have time to take it easy. People ask me about when I'm going to slow down. I'll be 76 on Sunday, and I'm not planning on slowing down. This is my children. This is my grandchildren.
Tim, let me jump in here. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to Marine Evangelist Tim Lee. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I'm talking to my friend, Marine Evangelist Tim Lee. We're talking about the nation and the birthday coming up on July 4th, Saturday, July 4th, 250th birthday of the great country called America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the need for us to repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Okay, Tim, we were talking at the break, and you have some events coming up even tonight. Is that right? You said you're going to be at First Baptist Odessa?
Yes, I'll be in Odessa, Texas tonight, and looking forward to being at First Baptist Church, and they've got a big God and Country evening plan, and so we're excited about that.
Good. So the pastor at First Baptist Odessa, Byron McWilliams, he and I went to seminary together. We've been good friends for a long, long time. So tell him I said hello.
I will.
All right, Tim, so you, as you travel around, you speak in different churches all around the nation. Are you encouraged or discouraged about what you see taking place spiritually in America?
For the most part, there are exceptions. I'm in a lot of great churches, and for the most part, I'm encouraged. And I really feel like there's some great things happening spiritually. And let me just tell your listeners that tomorrow I will be in Charlotte at the Billy Graham Library. And we'd love to have folks come out and do a book sign of my autobiography at their invitation tomorrow. But I feel like that people are waking up, and pastors are waking up. There's still some resistance about getting involved, and maybe we did go a little bit overboard in the past in some ways. I don't think so myself, but some of them seem to think so. But I think they are waking up to a large degree, and churches are, I hear churches taking the flag out of the auditorium, American flag out of the auditorium. I hear crazy things, but I don't see it in the circles that I travel. It's just not happening, and so maybe I'm blind to some of it. I don't know, but. I do believe that we need to get back to old-fashioned repentance and old-fashioned revival and back to the old-fashioned altar and back to the old-fashioned invitation, in the churches and calling on God and repenting and asking God to forgive us and seeking His face is that Old Testament scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And that's what we need, and that's the battle cry.
Tim, I was going to ask you, okay, so when we think about soldiers returning from war, obviously World War One, World War Two, those guys were hailed as heroes. Korean War, I think they were treated well. Vietnam War, they weren't treated well. You personally, were you treated poorly when you came back from Vietnam?
No, I came back the sanitary way, Pastor Jeff. I was put on a sanitary medevac chopper off the battlefield, taken to a sanitary hospital ship, the USS Sanctuary, and from there, sanitary hospital on the island of Guam for 2 weeks, and then back to the States to the Philadelphia Naval Hospital, where I spent the next 8 months. So I didn't come back the normal route that a lot of my friends did, but a lot of my buddies and friends were told not to wear the uniform in the airport, and they would be spit upon. They were called horrible names, had bags of urine thrown at them, other atrocities. And so I'm asked often, well, did we learn anything from the Vietnam War? And I said, well, I think we finally learned how to treat our men and women in uniform, and these young men who served in the Gulf War and Afghanistan and Iraq, that they came back to
okay, I think he's frozen there. Hopefully we can get him back. So if you don't know Tim Lee's story, he wrote autobiography called Born on the 5th of July, a great read. It's just about his life and how he lost both his legs in Vietnam, almost lost his life. But God spared him. God called him into the ministry. He was pastoring for a time and then went into full-time evangelism. And Tim, are you back? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. You wasn't hearing me?
No, you kind of froze up. How long have you been in evangelism, Tim?
This is my 48th year, and I've spoken every state and tons of foreign countries. And, you know, we were talking about, if you can hear me, Jeff, we were talking about those fighting. We go back 250 years ago, the Declaration of Independence, and then our war for freedom. And I was thinking about those 56 brave men who put their name on that Declaration of Independence. And many of those men literally fought for our liberty, and many of them lost their fortunes. They lost everything. Some of them lost their families. They lost their homes, their personal homes. They lost it all in order to fight for us. That 250 years ago, we could be free. And so how in the world can we do any less for our children and our grandchildren?
Amen to that. Tim, you were saying at the break, I thought it was a good point. You said, how can the Democrat Party stay together, unified, when you have the socialist part of their party, the extreme left fringe, seemingly taking over, because mainline Democrats don't want to be socialists, but they're having to support the Bernie Sanders and the AOCs and the Mindamis now. How do you see that going moving forward?
I think we could be on the verge of a split here, and to me that would be a great thing, because there is a little bit of sanity left in the Democratic Party. Not a whole lot, but there's a little bit of sanity. They've moved so radical and so far to the left in endorsing these gender operations for children and all the crazy, ridiculous stuff. Thank God the Supreme Court gave the states the rights to say no boys, no men in girls, women's sports. And that, you know, who would ever believe that we'd be fighting that battle in America? Who would ever believe the Supreme Court would even have to talk about that?
Right.
But here we are, because this radical. So I think there is possibility that there is a little sanity, and so those people with some sanity left will stand up to these radical socialists / communists and say, no, we're not going that direction, we're not going that far. And time will tell, of course, but I'm hopeful that that could happen.
Tim, as a soldier, and when you think about what's going on in Iran, and President Trump keeps trying to negotiate a deal, I have said that it does not seem to me that he understands the mind of a terrorist Muslim. They seem to revel in lies and death and destruction and war. I mean, they just want that. How do you see that going, and how do you see that coming to a conclusion?
Yeah, it's a little bit it's a little bit alarming, but I do trust the president and our leadership, and we still hold all the cards. And I mean, we got a whole bunch more bombs last week. These guys, if that's all they understand, then we'll help them understand it. But we've only been in this for a very short period of time. I know we've got an election coming up, but you know, understand that right is still right. I believe the American people will see through this, and that that president has a plan, that things will come together very quickly here. And I don't want to see us putting troops on the ground. I don't think he even is thinking that remotely. We learned that in Iraq and Afghanistan. Hopefully that, you know, we're not going to be playing that game again. Mm-hmm. But we've got the technology, we've got planes, we've got so many other things that we can use that we don't have to put boots on the ground. And that I think that you know, if they could just root out these radicals, that people in Iran, the normal people in Iran want to be free. They yearn to be free. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they would be enough of them that could rise up. I know there were a bunch of them slaughtered when they tried that early on, but if we could just give them some kind of a defense mechanism to be able to do that.
Tim, let me ask you this question. We see two things rising in America, socialism and the Islamification of America. From your perspective as an evangelist, which one of those two is a greater danger?
Jeff, would you repeat that? You cut out just a little bit.
Yes. Okay. So we see the rise of socialism in America. We see the rise of Islam in America. Which one of those two, from a perspective of an evangelist, which one of those two is more dangerous?
I am alarmed at both of them, I'm telling you, and probably equally so. But if I had to put a priority in one, it would be the Islamification of the country. And we're seeing it here in Texas, places, and it's alarming. They're trying to build their own cities. They don't want to assimilate. They want to have Sharia law. They want to control everything. And it is scary. And so I hope so. Hopefully people will stand up, these politicians stand up, Christians will stand up and oppose both of these. We don't need socialism. We don't need communism. And we don't need the Muslims taking over anything in America at all.
Yeah, amen to that. Okay, as we think about Nineveh, Tim and Jonah was the very unlikely candidate to lead one of the greatest revivals, awakenings in the history of the world, where the Ninevites, the capital city of the Assyrians, responded to his preaching and repented. And as an evangelist, when that happens, as a pastor, I mean, we're thrilled when we see people repent and come to the Lord. He wasn't thrilled with that. How do you reconcile that story, true account, with okay, this guy represents God, he's a prophet of God, but he doesn't want to see people come to the Lord? How do you put that together?
Yeah. Jonah was unusual in so many respects. You know, of course, he ran from God in the beginning, and And before we criticize him too much, those people down at Nineveh were pretty mean people, and they would take their enemy and chop their heads off and put them up like a stacks of cords of firewood in a public square on display. And so Jonah really didn't want to go down to Nineveh because of the people there, and he felt like they deserved the judgment of God. But then in the belly of the fish, he repented, and God gave him a second chance. Thank God our God is a God of a second chance. And he calls Jonah again to go to Nineveh, and he obeys, and he goes to Nineveh, and the greatest revival probably in the history of mankind. You know, they got right with God everywhere and repented, and God stayed his judgment on Nineveh. And then, and so, you know, like Sunday, I was in Wisconsin, and we saw over 100 people come to Christ, repented of their sins, and received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I was rejoicing, man. Connie and I left Wisconsin, coming back to Texas. We were happy. We were so excited that over 100 were saved. And here Jonah is in the greatest revival in the history of the world. He's upset. He's angry that God didn't just burn them all down. But thank God, you know, God knows a lot more about the situation than we do. And we try to tell God what to do, and we ought to be listening to him, letting him tell us what he wants us to do.
Yeah, that's for sure. Tim, are you? I know you were getting to talk to the troops in the Marines in training. Are you still getting to do that at Parris Island?
Not right now. After COVID, we've got some people working to get us back in. That was the greatest ministry that I have ever participated in. It started in 2013 and it ended when COVID hit in 2020. COVID did more damage to ministries than probably any one thing in my lifetime. And so just have you praying. People pray that this door would open back up. Greatest opportunity ever. Go in and have church on Sunday morning with 3,000 Marines and Marine recruits at Parris Island. And for an hour and a half to 2 hours, no restrictions. It was just a God thing. And we do still get invitations to military bases on occasion and other events with our military and with our veterans. And I love pouring in. That's one of the greatest mission fields in America is our military. And so I love doing that. And God's given me that opportunity. So just be much in prayer for those doors to continue to open.
Amen to that. We're talking to Marine Tim Lee. He's an evangelist. He travels the country and outside of the country, sharing Jesus and calling men, women, boys, and girls to repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus. When we come back from the break, we'll be opening the phone lines, taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment for Tim Lee, we would love to take your call. Let me just remind you, too, I'm going to Israel, leading a trip to Israel, April 2nd through the 11th, 2027. And if you'd like to find out more about that, you can go to fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org, and click on Holy Land 2027. We'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking to Marine Evangelist Tim Lee, talking about the need for repentance. We had mentioned about Jonah and how Jonah was sent to Nineveh, didn't want to go. Many Christians very familiar with the book of Jonah. It's only four chapters. First chapter, he gets the call, go to Nineveh. He doesn't want to go, goes the other direction, and gets on a ship, and there's a storm on the ship. He gets the soldiers to, the guys on the ship to throw him overboard. He's the cause of the problem, swallowed by a great fish. The Bible doesn't say a whale. It just says a great fish. And in the belly of that fish, he gets right with God. And it says in chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, because God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 500th chances. If he weren't, Your goose would be cooked. My goose would be cooked. We'd all be done. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. They called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them, and even the king. And it says at the end of chapter 3, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, the Lord says, do I have any pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? No. Therefore, repent and live. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we're having a little trouble getting Tim back on, but okay, I got the thumbs up, he's back on. And so we have Terry on the line from Texas. Terry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I just wanted to say hello to you and to Brother Tim Lee. I've met him. He gave me a signed copy of his book and a T-shirt. We were at a camp meeting. I gave him a Valor Coin of my son. He was killed in action in Afghanistan 7 years ago this month. Mm-hmm. And was in 18 years. He was a Green Beret, had 120 Green Berets under him on this last deployment. But he was a staunch Christian, led his men in that. And there were many testimonies at his funeral of his Special Forces guys and Green Berets that he had influenced. And to me, that is most important. That's an eternal consequence, mm-hmm. and influence, whereas his military, and he's highly decorated, had more combat stripes, and he had service stripes, and he was combat dive and special command ops, and I mean, all these things. But those things will pass away, and people will forget that. But your testimony, your influence, people that you don't even maybe know, that's an eternal thing. And I'm just so glad for his Christian testimony and for men that were an influence in his life, like Brother Tim Lee, even mm-hmm. though they were different eras, it, mm-hmm. it still was passed down, and he had some good military men in his life.
Amen
and,
to that.
I just appreciate that. And
thank you, Terry.
Brother Lee's ministry. Yeah.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your son's service and for his testimony and how it keeps going out to speak to lives. Tim, you no doubt have met a lot of parents over the years that lost their children in war.
Yes, I have the greatest respect, and thank you, ladies. I appreciate the sacrifice your son made and that you and your family have made for this country as well. And we pray to God every day that it's not in vain, and that America is worth fighting for. That's what I've said thousands of times. America's worth living for. America's worth fighting for. If needs be, America's worth dying for. And so thank you so much for the sacrifice.
Tim, now Terry's got a great attitude about, and she sees things in the proper perspective, but many parents don't, and many who went through a similar situation that you went through, losing limbs in Vietnam and all the things that can come into your mind, why was I even there, and this was a war not worth fighting, and blah, blah, blah. How did you keep your heart from getting bitter, and what do you say to parents that you might encounter who are bitter because they lost a son or a daughter in a military conflict?
That's a great, great question, Jeff. That's why I called my book, my title of my autobiography, Born on the 5th of July. My story and the story of the movie, Born on the 4th of July, his book, this was a Marine also, and in Vietnam, and he this Marine actually accidentally shot one of his own Marines, and then he himself was shot, paralyzed, put in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And he became very bitter, he became very angry, very mad at God, very mad at his country, and I didn't want to be like that.
I was in the hospital in Philadelphia for 8 long months. We didn't have private rooms. We didn't have semi-private rooms. Was on a ward at any given time, 20, 30 Marines or more on Ward 1A. If you were Ward 1A in Philadelphia, you were a Marine or you were an amputee from the Vietnam War. And I'd never seen so much bitterness and so much anger. And it was wearing on me. And I actually sat up in my bed one day and I said out loud, I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be mad. And so I made a conscious decision that wasn't going to be my life. I couldn't get my legs back. There was nothing I could do about that. And I always figured that I could do something with my life. Now, in my book, Born on the 5th of July, I tell about a day that I hit rock bottom and things spiraled out of control that it looked like that I was going to have my entire right hip amputated. And God did a miracle. God sent Dr. Robert Bailey, the guy that performed the very first surgery on me on the hospital ship, to the Philadelphia Naval Hospital on that very day, and he actually saved my life. But from that day forward, I my family would tell you, my friends would tell you, I've never been bitter, I've never been angry, I've never been mad. I'm just glad to be alive. Every day is a new day, and I get to live it.
Well, I can testify, Tim, that you have a great attitude. You're fun to be around. There is no bitterness, and you use what happened to you for God's glory, just as Terry said about her son. His yeah. testimony is what really matters because, hey, these bodies are not going to last forever anyway. We're getting a brand That's new right. body. And yeah, one of the things, yeah. you know, who knows? Tim Lee might be the fastest guy in heaven when he gets his brand new body.
I'll run you a foot race for sure.
Very good. Well, thank you, Terry. We have Anthony on the line from North Carolina. Anthony, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Jeff and Brother Tim, and really enjoyed the show this morning. But a week ago, I taught on Jonah in a Bible class concerning the same thing about how God has mercy on people that we think don't deserve it. You know, so we shouldn't give up on people no matter how evil they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
God's a lot more reasonable than we are. He says, come therefore and let us reason together. And mm-hmm. we look at people, their background, their lifestyle, where they've been, what they've done. We think, man, if anybody would deserve to go to hell, that person would deserve to go to hell. But God looks at that same person in love and grace and mercy and compassion and says, if they're willing to repent and receive my son, they can be my child and live with me forever. God is a reasonable God.
Tim, let me ask you this. We hear a lot from the left, and especially from those who call themselves Christians, but they're way on the left. And
we've got one of those running for senator out here in Texas.
Yes, we do. We do. He's dangerous for sure. But they'll castigate the Christians for saying, you know, why do you guys want to get rid of the immigrant, the undocumented? You know, they don't like to call them illegal immigrants, which... Yeah. That's what they are. But they look at it as loving the stranger, and you should welcome the stranger, love the stranger, just as God said to Israel, you know, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And so what would you say to the person that says, Tim, why are you against welcoming these people into America?
I would say that without borders, you don't have a country. And I would say that I don't mind people coming here from other countries. If I lived in some of those third world countries, I would probably be trying to come here too. But there's two things about that. Number one, you got to come legally. You must be a nation of laws. If you're not a nation of laws, you don't have a nation. And you have anarchy and you have tyranny. And so if you're going to come legally. Number two, when you get here, don't bring your third world country here. You're coming to a new country. Don't try to make this country where you came from, what it was like where you came from. If you get to America and you decide that you don't like what you see in America, then turn around and go back where you came from. That is simple, that's easy, and that fixes a lot of problems.
Tim, I have said before on the program, and I think it bears repeating, you know, Muslims are not the enemy, they're the mission field, but Islam yeah. Islam is the enemy. Islam is satanic, and it's holding these people. It's sending people to hell by the untold millions. And we as Christians are called by God to speak the truth in love and to call people out from that. Give me your opinion on the religion, quote unquote, religion of Islam.
Well, it's a false religion. It's a horrible, horrible religion. The way that women are treated, the way that children are treated, the way there's no respect for human life whatsoever, the hatred that they have for the Jewish people and animosity and hatred. I don't understand why anybody would want to be a part of that at all. And that is demoralizing. It's dark and it's evil. And so I think that we need to sound the alarm. We need to say in America, if you're going to live here, you're going to assimilate, you're going to be a part of each community. We don't need a bunch of Dearborn, Michigan scattered throughout all of our country. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they took over Dearborn, that used to be a beautiful area of the Detroit Metroplex there. I've been there many, many times in the past. But now they've got no-go zones. They practice Sharia law in certain areas, and it's just not right. And so you're correct. We love the Muslim. We want to see them come to Christ. We want to see their lives changed by the power of God. But we don't like that system of Islam that is destroying lives and destroying families.
Yeah, for sure. Tim, as a board member, board of trustees for Liberty University, do you have to sign a statement of faith to be a student at Liberty?
Yes, they do, and then we have what we call the Liberty Way. Liberty University is on the right track. I'm actually the chairman of the board right now for the last 4 years at Liberty, which great things are happening there. God is doing a marvelous work, spirit of revival on the campus. We have the largest enrollment. Over 160,000 people are enrolled at Liberty University right now. And it's just amazing what God is doing. The largest Christian university in the world. We've got professors. Our professors believe the Bible. Our professors teach the Word of God. Our professors are Christians and talk about it in the classroom. We love America. We're not woke. We never have been woke. We're not going woke. We're awakened, but we're not woke.
I love that. Well, Jerry Falwell Sr. would appreciate the fact that Liberty is continuing. Tim, as you know, so many universities, and just like churches and seminaries, they go well for a while when they have strong leadership, and then they fade. And it seems to me that Dr. Don DeCostin is doing a great job at the helm.
Unbelievable. He is amazing. He was a godsend.
For sure. Well, Tim, tell us where you're going to be in the next couple of weeks. I know that you had mentioned First Baptist Odessa tonight, and then you're at the Cove or the Billy Graham Library. Where are you going to be?
I'm at the Billy Graham Library. I'm at Odessa tonight, Billy Graham Library tomorrow, Sunday. I'm at Westside Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And then the Sunday next after that, I'm in Bakersfield, California at Rock Harbor Church. It's a great church I've been to before there, a strong, strong church. And so be glad to see people go to our website, timlee.org, and find out more about our ministry and what we're involved in. They can purchase my autobiography, Born on the 5th of July, timlee.org.
Yes, and I have to say, Tim, I picked up that book a couple of times ago when you were here preaching, and I read it in, I think, 2 or 3 days max. It is a page-turner. It is filled with hope and encouragement, and you read about Tim Lee's life, and you say, if God can enable this guy to get through those hardships, those trials, and come out on the other side, well, he can do something in my life, too. So God bless you, brother. Tell
the pastor. I love you, Pastor Jeff. Keep up the good work, man.
Thanks, brother. Well, tell Byron McWilliams I said hello. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to Pastor Jarrett Stevens, the pastor of Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And Jarrett's been a wonderful friend, and that's a wonderful church. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.